Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a terrific Thursday. It's always wild stuff going on in this world. Got to give it that. It's never a dull moment in this globe or whatever shape people like to think it is that we live on. And a lot of interesting stuff going on. I saw earlier today that the Mars rover that they have over there, they've been driving around in Mars for the last couple of years. It has basically been in the middle of a sandstorm for the last, like, 20 days. It's literally almost encompassed the entire planet of Mars, and it hasn't been slowing down. It's actually been getting bigger. I thought that'd be interesting. If that really is accurate on what they're doing over there with that rover, which it looks like is pretty cool, that planet is definitely not the way it used to be. I mean, you got a planet that has ravines, ditches, lakes, riverbeds, as far as used to be areas. I mean, they've even found DNA there that is essentially able to support life in water. They've already said that. And now it's literally like a desolate red planet with weeks and weeks and weeks of global-sized sandstorms. Sounds like a not-so-fun place to live, but, of course, again, as we speculated, it very well could have been a place that people lived at or something lived at in the past. But I thought that was interesting. Other than that news, how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing great. The question about that little Mars rover is this. You know, they keep sending pictures of it back, you know, from the space station. They'll said they take snapshots of the pictures. And the panels, the solar panels, which are flat on top of it, are always perfectly clean. They never have any dust on or sand. I always find that amazing. I wonder how they do that. Like, you know, I wonder who's cleaning them. I'm just throwing it out there, guys. I mean, I just find it all very, very strange. About as strange as this story. I just got this in, and it said that 89 of our senators and congresspeople now have dual citizenship with Israel. Now, you know, I know a lot of you guys think, well, that's not that big of a deal. But, you know, guys, anytime that large of a group of our Congress and Senate basically have, you know, ties to a foreign country and want to vote in favor of, I mean, we're talking their citizens. I mean, we're talking, you know, Blumenthal, Boxer, Benjamin Cardin, Dianne Feinstein, Al Franken, Herb Kohl, Frank Lautenberger, Charles Schumer. I mean, this just goes on and on and on. Now, there aren't any Republicans on this list, which I thought was kind of nice. At least they're not being listed in here. Eric Cantor, he's the Republican, though, out of Virginia. He's on there. Just found one. Gabriel Giffords. Yeah, this goes on and on and on and on and on. And what I found even more interesting about this is what in the Obama administration, Jack Lew, the chief of staff to the president, was a dual citizen. Chief of staff to president, treasury secretary. David Poloff, senior advisor to the president, was dual citizen. Gary Gensler, chairman of the commodities futures trading, dual citizen. Dan Shapiro, ambassador to Israel, dual citizen. And this list goes on and on and on. Rahm Emanuel, David Axelrod, Elena Kagan, Lawrence Summers, director of National Economic Council, you know, James B. Steinberg, deputy secretary of state, Dennis Ross, special assistant to the president, senior director for the central region, secretary of the state. And just lists and lists. This list goes on and on and on and on and on and on of all these people that have dual citizenships. Now, again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a dual citizenship with any country. Shoot, because my mom was born in Germany, I could get a dual citizenship with Germany. Well, probably if I did that, and if I say the things that I say here and I said them on air over in Germany, they'd probably come arrest me. So I don't really want a dual citizenship with Germany. So I don't have a problem with that. It's just that they shouldn't be involved in key government positions in determining policy of the United States if their interests and their goals are not that of the United States solely. That's how I look at it. I was speaking the other day to an American Airlines rep, and he was basically going to Israel. And they told me his dad was Jewish, and he told me that he was going to, because he's Jewish, half Jewish, that the Israel is paying for his airfare, paying for his expenses, all he has is incidentals he's got to pay. He gets a free trip to Israel for free, hoping to increase the amount of migration or moving to Israel. Now, the problem I have with that, and I wish the guy well, he goes to Israel, has a free vacation, I'm happy for him. But the problem I have with that is we're giving Israel billions and billions and billions of dollars in foreign aid every year. Okay, so we're giving them foreign aid, and I'm not just picking on Israel. This could be any country. And we're borrowing the money. We're borrowing the money to give to Israel to basically give this guy, because money's fungible, to give this guy free tickets and a free hotel and a free trip to the promised land. Now, that I have a problem with. I mean, if Israel was, you know, is prospering on its own, it doesn't need all of our money coming to it every single year. Think about it. Think about all the states now that have passed legislation making it illegal to boycott Israeli goods. Or in some states, even yeah. say anything bad about Israel. I mean, you know, guys, I'm not a Israeli hater. I love Israel. I've been over there many, many times. Not many, many times. I'm sorry. I've been all over Israel. I've been there once. I've been there with Austin way back in the 90s. And I loved it. I loved the Via Della Rosa. I loved the old Jewish quarters, the Arab quarters. I loved all of the stuff in Jerusalem. I mean, we went all over the country. Hired a guide, took us everywhere. And so, I mean, the place is absolutely stunningly beautiful from the old architectural standpoints. But, you know, the reality is this. I'm an American citizen. I want to be an American citizen. That's my first love is going to be the United States of America. And all of us need to understand that if people don't have America as their first love, why are they determining laws and statutes and voting for stuff that we never get a chance to vote for and determining the course of action of our country when we don't have the opportunity to vote for it? It seems like it's a terrible, terrible conflict of interest to me, which would indicate why we're in Syria, you know, why we're doing the things that we do, why we're so pro-Israeli, because, you know, we have 89 members of the Congress and the Senate who are dual citizens. And to me, it just doesn't make any sense why we don't have laws against dual citizens being part of our legislative bodies, Austin, in determining rules and laws for the rest of us. What do you think?
I think it's conflict of interest, like yeah. textbook example. I mean, have you gotten a invitation to have a dual citizenship to Israel?
Well, no, but I'd like to have a free trip. I'd love to go visit Israel.
No, but,
I'd like to have, you know,
me neither.
It's up to $30,000 per person now that we've given to the Israelis, you know, in just free money. I mean, tax free,
yeah.
just $30,000 if you look at the numbers per person. Of every citizen, man, woman, and child over there that we've just given it, that we've borrowed, that our future generations are going to continue to pay off and off and off and off and off while they rebuild a third temple to bring in an Antichrist. I mean, guys, remember, we're not dealing with a Christian country here. We're not dealing with a country that's based on Christian principles of Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We're not dealing with that here. We're not even dealing with Old Testament Israel. We're dealing with Tel Aviv being the number one homosexual destination in the world. We're dealing that one of the primary cores of child trafficking globally is out of Tel Aviv. We're dealing with thousands of sexual brothels, you know, in Tel Aviv. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a country that's going by the Torah, by Old Testament biblical standards. That's not what this is. This is a super liberal state that was started back in 47 that we basically have continued to subsidize. And quite frankly, it aggravates me that any country gets that kind of money from us. And quite frankly, I would stop all foreign aid to all countries, especially to Mexico and the ones south of the border, Austin, who are intentionally sending their citizens into the United States. See, this whole thing, you know, right now we're having all these hearings going on before Congress and all of the stuff that's going on with these memos and the AIG report, all of the stuff. All of the stuff is going on right now at Congress. And so what does the media do? They have a giant obfuscation right now about
yep.
kids at the border and basically being put in the small little mini concentration camps. It's all just another giant, gigantic obfuscation lie. They had to have something big enough to get the people in America to stop thinking about what was going on with the corruption with the FBI and the CIA and all of these memos that's happening. They had to get something big enough to force everybody to start watching the TV and start hammering Trump to the point he finally signs an executive order to prevent family separations at the border because the media wouldn't stop. Why? It's obfuscation. Whenever they get fixated on something like this that Obama was also doing, it's because they're trying to cover up the other stories, guys. What do you think
yep.
about that, son?
Nah, you nailed it, and that's exactly what we saw after the Parkland shooting down here. They literally would not shut up about gun laws, gun restrictions, gun bans, until finally Trump had to basically indirectly imply that he was okay with certain laws being passed, and even said that basically the Department of Justice needs to have ATF look at bump fire stocks again, to the point now that it looks like bump fire stocks are going to be banned federally at some point in the future, and when the Florida governor finally basically wrote into law some of the most egregious gun laws we've ever had written in this state, if not the worst. And so it's exactly what they did. They would not stop. And the issue that I have with that is that why are we allowing a media who is known for collusion, who is known for putting out fake news, to essentially bully our president and our elected officials into capitulating into what they want them to do simply because the media has that much power? I have a real problem with that, man, and that's exactly what we see happening more and more and more now, because they will not stop, because they are completely and totally controlled. Even Fox is controlled. Everybody can say what they want about Fox. I don't care. They are still controlled on the back end. That's
right,
why
they are.
They don't talk about vaccinations. They finally had one interview with John Kennedy as far as on the vaccinations. I saw it a couple weeks ago, and it was literally maybe a two-minute slot with Carl Tuckerson, and it was literally a joke. It was literally a joke. And he sped through it so fast, he wouldn't let him get anything out. He wouldn't let him talk about any legitimate topics. And it was just in and out. It was so, people went, oh, well, they're bringing up, you know, vaccine safety on here. They're talking about this. No, they didn't. They brought it up. They brought an individual who, I mean, Kennedy, I mean, he's great. I love what he does, but he's a horrible public speaker. I mean, he's getting very old. He cannot handle himself as far as his verbiage correctly anymore. And so he sounds like he's just this old dude who's just rambling on about vaccine safety, and nobody takes it seriously. They did that on purpose. That was not done unintentionally. They did that on purpose to try to undermine the effects of what we're doing with bringing vaccine awareness, just like I talked about yesterday. Australia puts up a, you know, individual company puts up a billboard in Australia. Do you know what's in a vaccine? That's all they asked. Completely everybody flipped out. All the vaccine manufacturers, the prime minister, everybody completely flipped out. This is what they have going on. Now, here's another article that's just going to prove it even more to understand where this is going with the media and why we have to fight so hard for true news. The latest example of Big Pharma taking over the media is the purchase now of the Los Angeles Times. Yes, the Los Angeles Times and the San Diego Tribune for $50 million by Big Pharma billionaire Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong. Instead of paying for advertisements, pharma billionaires have now decided just to buy publications outright so they can control the entire publication. With the LA Times and the San Diego Tribune now under the control of Big Pharma's interest, these publications will more easily pump out any propaganda for vaccines and new drugs, at the same time suppressing any reports about vaccine damage, links between psychiatric drugs and violence, Gardasil vaccines, and the list goes on. This media takeover is the perfect way to shape public opinions. What we were just talking about. Xiong made his $7.5 billion fortune by buying and selling two biopharmaceutical companies. His mission included providing cancer treatments and developing vaccinations. Not surprisingly, Xiong already wants to use the publications for eradicating fake news, he came out and said. In an editorial to readers, he wrote, I quote, "I believe that fake news is a cancer of our times, and social media is the vehicles that metastasize it. Institutions like the Times and the Union Tribune are more vital than ever right now." Basically, you want interpretation on that? He bought these places over. He bought the LA Times. He bought the San Diego Tribune so he can push all the fake news propaganda that talks about how good pharmaceuticals are, how good vaccines are. Remember, California is already turning to a full-blown vaccination state. I mean, they've already passed on that was the SB, I think it was SB 277 that mandated kids to be vaccinated for school or they couldn't get in. This is what they're doing now. They're trying to control the media from every angle. This is why I tell you, none of the media, nobody, Fox, ABC, NBC, nobody talks about Big Pharma, big vaccine. It never gets brought up in a negative light, and that is a reason why, because they control the media, they dictate the news, and now they are actually changing United States policy via their harassment and propaganda through their fake news and making the President of the United States actually write into law because of the garbage that they're pushing that. And to me, that is insane.
Years ago, Austin, when I was doing so many talk shows, up to 40 talk shows a week, I kid you guys, I kid you not, some of them may be 5 minutes long, some of them may be 10 minutes long, some of them may were an hour long. I was up to 40 a week during like Christmas season and Thanksgiving week.
and sometimes 10 to 20 a week normally. I mean, I did close to 5,000 interviews. I mean, I lost count. I'm estimating that. It was insane how many number shows I did. I mean, they even asked me to be on the Oprah Winfrey show back in the 90s. I turned them down. And you said, why did you turn Oprah Winfrey down? Well, number one, I don't like her politics. Number two, they were going to have me get on a panel and debate a bunch of medical doctors. It's like me against five, which I don't do that. And secondly, they would not allow me to use my 800 number. And thirdly, I did not have a book in publication, and so I could not promote a book. And fourthly, there was no such thing as the internet, so I couldn't give out a website. So it was like a just complete and total. What is going to be was just going to be how badly can we slam Ted Brewer? Because the reason they were doing this, in my opinion, is that, you know, I was being featured on so many talk shows. This is before the independent media was consolidated. Now, and I'm talking about talk radio now and a lot of the independent TV stations. Back in the 90s, Bill Clinton capitulated to the Rothschild powers and the publishing corporations and got rid of the law that said that in any city that one corporation could only own one media center or radio station or TV show. That's it. And so in other words, you'd have one CBS affiliate, one ABC affiliate, one NBC affiliate. You'd have like 30 or 40 or 50 independent radio stations that had independent programming, and they were all owned by independent individuals or corporations, and they were not interlocked. In other words, it was free news, news that wasn't going to be biased or controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's right.
So what had happened is I'd come on the shows and we'd talk about all kinds of stuff. And I would talk about the top 10 foods never to eat. You guys know that's the high fat lunch of meat, the aspartame, the hydrogenated oils, the shellfish, the junk food, the soy, the chlorine and fluoride, the high fat dairy products, the coffee products, and the alcohol products. In case you've never heard me do that, you can listen to me do it, explain those in detail. And I'd get all kinds of blowback from that. And every once in a while, one of the hosts would be daring enough to ask me about vaccines. And oh my gosh, the phone lines would just go insane. They would blow up. You'd watch the board. Sometimes they'd have 100 phone lines, Austin, on a big board that were coming into a station for callers, right? And so I'd say, he'd say something about vaccines, and I'd start talking about vaccines. Bam! All 100 lines would light up. I mean, all 100 lines would light up at one time. And the guys would look at the phone board. He goes, our phone board just exploded. We have all the lines are lit because people wanted to know the truth. Well, I did that a couple of times. Then what happened is I was told, don't talk about vaccines. Don't talk about vaccines. Then I was told, don't talk about aspartame. Then I was, don't talk about pork. You know, just little by little by little. And finally, Bill Clinton came in and deregulated it so that all the stations could be owned by one broadcaster. So all of a sudden, you'd go into a studio now, and Austin was with me many times when we were doing this. You'd go into a studio now, and there'd be 15 radio stations in the one studio, all owned by that same group of people that owned all 15. And now they could dictate what they wanted to put out on the media, and they started buffering it more and more and more. And little by little, I was no longer, along with a lot of other alternative health people, we were no longer being asked to come onto the shows. Then what they would do is they would buy up all the shows in one market. Someone would own 2,000 and 3,000 stations, like Clear Channel, some of these really big ones. And they would come in and they would start taking canned programming, and they would put one person on the air in Detroit and put him on 200 or 300 or 400 stations they owned at the same time all over the country to promote a national footprint and to allow them not to have to produce programming for 400 stations. Now, I want to say that over again. When you have 400 shows going on at once, you have to have 400 hosts or 400 different guests. And it was too difficult to maintain the control of what was being promoted through the airwaves. So they started just basically putting these giant syndicated shows on. And I did a bunch of the big syndicated shows too. Huge numbers you'd have on sales and book sales and CD sales on our home study courses when I would do that. But the problem was, the more I did them, the more my name got out there, the more I became blackballed. And little by little, as these stations consolidated, they started giving these little edicts down through the networks of why Ted Brewer couldn't be back on. I remember years ago, that was back in 2007. It was right after the crash, maybe 2008. I was on with John Jay out of Arizona. Now, John Jay is a good friend of mine. I mean, he's a great friend. He's a great guy, brilliant radio show personality. You guys may know him. He's out of Tucson, of Phoenix. I think he syndicated 8 to 10 markets. And I was on with him like all morning. We came on like at 7. I was on with him until like 10. I mean, I spent the whole morning with him asking questions on the show, had huge numbers from the show, a lot of call-ins. Everybody loved it. Never been asked to be back on the show again. And I had been doing John Jay's show for years up to that point. Never been asked to go back on. And suddenly, I called him back a few years ago, and I said, "Hey, John Jay, how are you doing?" Because we still exchange Christmas cards. And he was telling me how Dr. Oz basically had taken my place. Oh, well, now stop for a second. Dr. Oz is mainstream TV, mainstream news. Dr. Oz may get a little too far out there every once in a while. They snap him tight, pull him back in, and say, "Okay, you can't go there." So he capitulates because of the advertisers. And so now Dr. Oz comes on that show, and I'm not asked. Then he asked me to fly out there one time and do another show off the air, and they would allow it to have bits and pieces played on the air, and they could listen to the entire podcast, you know, after the show was over with, which it would not have sold enough books and home study courses to have even paid my airfare to go out there. That's the problem. And it was hardly any listenership. And I told him, no, thank you. And see, this is what, and John Jay is a good friend of mine, and he's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant broadcaster. But the reality is this happened a lot of times. And then you end up getting into the Christian market. And I watched the same thing happen with the Christian market. Little by little, the Christian market was bringing more and more health people on as far as in marketing. And then little by little, they all started disappearing again because of various, how should I say, hints that they were basically running infomercials, hints that they were producing cures and claims and stuff that weren't legit, which, you know, I never did that. Now, there may be some out there who were doing that, but I didn't do that. And so little by little, pretty much all the nutrition stuff went off and left the Christian market. Plus, a lot of the other Christian market speakers, other than myself, they were promoting nonsense. I mean, I'm talking complete nonsense, like eat more broccoli every day and you'll be unbelievably healthy. Not eat more organic broccoli, it's just eat more broccoli. It's just stupid stuff like that. And I'm not saying that broccoli is bad for you because it's not, but it's not going to make you healthy if all you're going to eat is broccoli. And that's the kind of stuff that they were doing, and it ended up basically causing a lot of problems in that industry. Also, one person in particular, Rod Parsley, I was on his show back in 3 or 4 years. And Randall was on his show hundreds of times, either through reruns or through live performances with him, and even speaking at his church. And suddenly, someone spoke to Rod, and all of a sudden it was like that. It just stopped. I mean, it stopped. I mean, it was all of a sudden, I was on the air, all of a sudden I was off the air, like somebody flipped a switch. And I'm like, wow, how did that happen? To the point that if I call Rod or write Rod or contact Rod, I can't even get a return phone call. It's to that point. You know, and I know him very, very well. I consider him to be, a very well-known acquaintance. I can't say he's a friend, though at one time I considered him a friend, because at this point, when friends don't return phone calls, you really can't consider them friends anymore. And see, this is what I've seen over and over and over. Now, what's happening is the same thing's happened. The reason I said all of that stuff is to say this. What's happening in media is the same thing that's happened in academia, and now it's happening with these major papers that are being bought up by these major drug pushers. What happens is this. We have selective publication now that's going to be available in his newspaper. In other words, Austin, he's going to say what's fake news and what's not fake news, and he's going to promote the stuff that he wants to have promoted into those two big papers. We're going to have rigged outcomes promoted from studies that are completely and totally biased. We're going to have, and this is one of the most dangerous things that you've ever seen, they're called advertorials. And what they are, they'll get a person with a PhD or an MD or whatever from Harvard University, and they'll write and advertise it. Most of the time, they don't even write it. The ad guys write it, and they sign their name at the bottom of it. And what it is, it's like a testimonial page of people who have tried this new drug, had these tremendous results. And so, basically, it's an advertising, but it's listed as an editorial. Now, it sells huge amounts of drugs because people believe that and think that they're getting a non-biased opinion from this medical doctor who went to Harvard or Yale or whatever. And now, basically, this guy's promoting this, and look at all these people with these happy success stories. It's the same thing that when you see these commercials on TV at night. They're like mini advertorials. You get a one-minute commercial, somebody running through the fields, you know, catching butterflies in the net, you know, bouncing like the Tigger on the doggone movie with 1,000-acre, 100-acre wood. And that's how they're acting. They're in a 100-acre wood with Tigger bouncing around, and they're running through, and they're like 65, 70 years old, and now they're out flying kites or canoeing or jet skiing, and you're like, and they talk about all the drugs. This is an advertorial. This is showing you a testimonial of what will happen to you
in the event that you start taking this drug, and then after you see all these happy faces and everybody holding hands and singing kumbaya around the campfire and all the other stuff, they go, oh, by the way, this probably can kill you within 3 minutes after you take it. You go, what did they just say? And then you say, did they say it could kill you within 3 minutes after you take it? Now, I'm exaggerating that, but that's the kind of stuff. This thing causes suicide. This causes this. This causes this. This causes your heart to stop. This causes you to die. And you're like, well, yeah. Well, but the problem is your brain now, remember we talked about this the other day, your right brain now has already seen all those images of you flying the kite, of you hiking back in the backwoods, of you canoeing, of you rollerblading, of you bouncing through the fields like Tigger and Winnie the Pooh in the 100-acre wood catching butterflies, and your brain remembers all that. And all of a sudden they give you all this negative stuff with like nothing on the screen, and you're like, you don't see any imaging anymore, and I'll obviously go, oh, I don't really know what that was. All I want to do is I want to bounce like Winnie the Pooh and Tigger in the 100-acre wood. That means I need that drug. What was the name of that drug again? And slowly but slowly, the imaging they use in that right brain triggers you. So when you go to your doctor, doctor, I want some of that stuff that they had with Tigger in the 100-acre wood, that stuff that makes me bounce through the fields. Oh, this stuff. Oh, yeah, that stuff. Oh, yeah, this stuff is great. Then he gets his free golf clubs or gets his free vacation or his free trip to Hawaii or his free trip to Europe for a convention because he sold and put out that many prescriptions of those drugs. Think, well, that doesn't happen. God, it happens all the time, guys. This is what happens. They promote this stuff like this. They used to use these really hot women. God, I mean, just right out of college, 18, 19, sometimes high school, 18, 19, 21, 22 years old. I mean, smoking hot, 10 stunners. And they would be drug reps. And these doctors, like, you know, number one, they probably got 3 ex-wives already. Or number two, they're single because they don't have any kind of social life because they can't interact with anybody because they have no life outside of their medicine. And they're basically nerds. And so these super hot models would walk into the room and say, I'd like to see Dr. So-and-so. Well, Dr. So-and-so would be sitting in the back room. He'd look around the corner and say, woo! I'll see her. I will see her. I will see her every time she comes here. I want to see her more. And you think, well, guys, look it up. They did this for 20, 30 years. And finally they found it was easier to do the marketing through TV. Now, let's go to the next one. We've got the selective publication. We've got the rigged outcomes. We've got the advertorials. We have reprint revenues. In other words, they reprint articles over and over and over again so they continue to generate revenue in these newspapers this guy just bought. Then you have bribery of journal editors giving them more vacation times if they put your article in their books or their magazines. Then you have publication bias. They only pick up the stuff from these guys that are real news, not fake news. And then you have financial conflicts of interest. And when all of this evidence-based medicine is bought and paid for, okay, this is what's going on. The evidence medicine is being bought and paid for by the universities who are giving huge grants. People die. That is how doctors have created this opioid crisis that literally kills thousands of people. Pharmaceutical companies want to pay off the doctors, just as a drug lord wants to pay off judges and police officers. Doctors, being human, should put safeguards against this temptation. Unfortunately, doctors and universities have been willing participants in the game of killing for profit. That's the fact, guys. We need to end it now, end the corruption at the universities and stop the bribery of doctors and stop allowing these pharmaceutical companies to give these huge benefits and perks to these doctors who promote their drugs. Guys, it needs to come to a screeching halt. The advertising of drugs is illegal on TV in Europe. It's illegal. You don't see it over there. Why? Because they know the power of the TV. Because you're sitting there in a beta wave or theta wave state or an alpha brain wave state or whatever you're in. You're basically chilling out watching TV. You're in a hypnotic state and you're believing it. That's why you'll sit there, you'll be watching a movie, and all of a sudden something will jump out from you. You go, wah! You jump, you scream, you yell. You yell in your chair in the movie theater, watch it. Or you yell in your chair at the house because it scares you. Why? Because you're entrenched in the movie. You think you're in that movie. You're in that screen with the rest of these actors. They know that. They know it puts you in that hypnotic trance state. So when they come in with the next commercial, you know, let's be Tigger running through the field with Winnie the Pooh in the 100-acre wood. You go, that's me. That's me. I want to be Tigger. And then you chase the little ball down the road going, I want that. I want that. I want that. That ball doesn't work. You see another commercial. You get another ball. Pretty soon you look down. You got 25 prescription drugs you're on and you feel like crap and you go, God, what happened? I came in here because my cholesterol was 205. My cholesterol was 205. I thought I felt pretty good. My testosterone was in pretty good shape. They put me on a cholesterol drug because the doctor didn't like 205. Now my cholesterol is 140. My testosterone's on the floor. I got no sex drive. I'm depressed because my testosterone is so low. So now they got me on antidepressants. Now they've got me on testosterone pills and shots. Now they've got me on all these drugs because I feel absolutely horrible all the time. I came in with 205 cholesterol feeling great. What the heck just happened? Why am I on 20 drugs? That's what happens. Over and over and over again, these medical professionals are incentivized. Look at Blue Cross Blue Shield. They get money for every child up to $40,000 to $80,000 a year that they can prove have been fully immunized. This guy says, well, it shouldn't be that way. God, you're preaching to the choir with that. You don't think I know it shouldn't be that way? We shouldn't have dual citizens running the White House, running the. Remember, the Rothschilds own all of these things through interlocking corporate directorships. Last week, I read you, or 2 weeks ago, I read you the three to four major companies in the world, investment houses, that own it all pretty much, and it's all big bank affiliated money and investors. And these are the guys that pull the strings to everything. And that's why until we break ourselves loose from the shackles the Federal Reserve System, and we kick these guys to the curb and say, the heck with you. You guys are the pits. We don't want this anymore. We will never regain the status of the largest creditor nation in the world, and we will maintain the status of the largest debtor nation in the world until the entire United States completely collapses from its own internal debt, decay, and rot, and lack of raising little Americans. I'm on a preaching parade, Austin. All you want to do is talk about a magazine getting. You start talking about a newspaper getting sold, and I went nuts. I tell you what, that's
accurate. And one thing, you know, if these corporations, so say you go, well, maybe they do kind of care about your health. Maybe they are concerned about stuff. If that was the case, why would they be doing the psychological programming that Dad was just talking about with these positive images that they're showing with you bouncing through the woods and chasing kites and having a blast while they're talking about all this stuff? If they were actually real about it, they would have the discussion, oh, we need to talk about your restless leg syndrome. Okay. Then they say, okay, here's some of the side effects. And they start posting up photos. Heart attack, stroke, loss of life, all these different things they come up with. And they start running slideshows of these gruesome photos of people that have died from the different things that they're talking about and the different topics that they're on as far as the side effects. You get people's attention pretty fast. People go, maybe I can deal with my restless leg syndrome. I don't want to go on that. That looks horrible. That looks absolutely debilitating. I would never want to take something that bad. That's horrible. That is the reason why they don't show you. They show you the guys running through the field, chasing the kite, jumping with the bouncing ball, having a great time, while they shuttle off a list of side effects that are usually a half a mile long, super fast, under the breath, with lower volume. If you guys ever notice that, they talk about this stuff kind of higher rate, higher tempo, positive. Then all of a sudden when they talk about that, it's like brushing on the rug. And side effects may include blah, 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 blah. You're like, wait, what did he say? I heard death in there somewhere. Oh, don't worry about that. We got to fix your restless leg syndrome, honey. Don't worry about that. You go, well, I think he just said death. Did he just say death? No, he didn't say death. That product would never cause death or it wouldn't be on the market. It's FDA approved. What? Yes, it does get on the market when it does cause death. Look at Chantix, the product that basically helps you stop smoking. It literally lists suicidal thoughts and actions from taking that compound as a side effect. I don't know about you guys, but I don't generally like to take things that I know are going to cause me to have suicidal thoughts and actions. That's kind of creepy, especially when you know for a fact before you take it, it can cause that issue. So those are things you guys just got to think about before you go on this. Another article, too, because we talked about this yesterday. I really wanted to touch base on it because I saw it out after the show yesterday. You know, Dad and I were talking about the issue that we're seeing with the trade wars that started to begin with China, the fact that China controls so many things. One thing that I pointed out a couple weeks ago that a lot of people have asked me about as well, next time you go to the movie theater, when you watch the different picture screens and stuff that come up as far as, you know, such and such industry, Silver Dunes, all the different studios, if you guys have noticed now, half the movies that come out are all done by Chinese picture studios now. Chinese. They always have Chinese writing as far as on the picture studio. These are American films. They're Chinese studios because they've come in and bought so much stuff up. This is from economist Mai Xun. This is an interesting article because I saw it. I really wanted to kind of touch base on what exactly is going on and why Dad and I have been talking about this as being such an issue. Previous senior Chinese government economists basically was quoted now in a new interview with Spiegel Online. Min Shun is a member of the Commerce Ministry Chinese Academy of World Trade and Economic Cooperation. He warned that two economic giants are on the brink of financial war. He told the German website that the dispute over tariffs with the U.S., which he provocatively dismissed as a country that's going downhill and has lost its fighting spirit, is escalating to a full-blown trade war. Asked about which weapons China will deploy in this conflict, May told Spiegel Online, and I quote, China has responded to the first installment of U.S. punitive tariffs by imposing countervailing duties in comparable product categories. Should the U.S. now impose tariffs on imports of another $200 billion, China will extend the conflict to another field. This is where I saw this and I said, bingo, it's exactly what we've been talking about. This guy literally just confirms it. He then goes on to say, he has warned that China would sell its U.S. government bonds that it owns more than $1 trillion worth of and its dollar reserves, even if doing so is extremely economically painful. The U.S. and China are the largest economies and the largest financial markets in the world. In good times, our competition is that we try to grow faster than the U.S., but when times get worse, it's about who loses faster. This would be a financial war, and what such a financial war between the two largest economies look like is probably beyond our imagination. Asked about what role the size of the Chinese economy plays in the trade war with the U.S., May responded, when we had our first trade conflict with the U.S. in the 90s, the U.S. economy was 15 times bigger than the Chinese. Today, it is only 1.5 times bigger. Not that we wanted a trade war back then, because we could not afford it. Today, we can and we will if we have to. This is where it's headed with China right now, guys. We've allowed them, and we've intentionally, and it's sad to see what's happened here with this trade deficit, because this was not done accidentally. The globalists made sure this was going to become a problem because they wanted to have this giant confrontation with China, in my opinion. They sold China trillions of dollars worth of this debt now that they hold, and they know that if we start to go down, China goes down, but now China wants to be bigger than the United States, and now we're in a very, very big pickle where if we start raising tariffs, they're going to continue to raise tariffs after we've completely allowed them to essentially use the United States like their lapdog and allow these massive hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of trade deficit every single year to continue to grow and grow and grow and do nothing about it. Now that we're trying to do something about it with Trump, now they're threatening basically to sell our debt and dump it on the market, exactly what Dad talked about yesterday.
Yeah, excellent summary, Austin. The thing about it is, the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender.
Yep.
China's got a huge, they're a huge lender. They buy debt from everybody. And the reason China has so much money that they're on a fiat currency system like we are, but they're trying to change that to a gold-backed system, is that they're like Germany. They're having a lot more exports than imports, so they have a constant influx of cash coming in, which allows them not to have to borrow money from their Federal Reserve Bank in order to maintain the economy. In other words, they're bringing in trillions of extra dollars per year, which means they don't have to borrow trillions because that money stays into their M1 supply as far as money they have in capital, including $1 trillion in U.S. dollar denomination currency. I mean, this is what's going on right now. And see, that's why they're crippling Germany, because Germany was the same way. And, you know, China's just being set up now by the Rothschilds become the dominant leading economy in the world. The problem is that we have with the blithering idiot, child pedophile, rapist, whoremonger, or Bill Clinton is that he basically allowed this most favored status to go to China. He allowed the NAFTA to take place. He allowed all of these things to happen, which in turn now have crippled our industrial capacity, and we're dependent upon all of Chinese cheap stuff. See, the problem is, you know, we used to have to pay $1 or $2 more for a pair of shoes or a towel or whatever because it was made by the textile industry here in the United States, maybe even $3 more for a towel. Well, now you go to a wholesale box club and you can buy a really nice towel for $7, $8, $9. That towel may have cost you $15 25, 30 years ago.
but we maintain the employment of millions of textile workers in the North Carolina area, and hundreds of thousands at least, but probably millions in the independent markets that are selling and producing and distributing all of these different types of products. And now all of that stuff's being made somewhere else. I mean, you know, it's just that. And so what we've done is we've gotten addicted to these super cheap goods. I mean, I remember back in the 80s, I went over to a place in Winter Haven that has like outfitting gear, like for hiking and stuff. And if you got a good pair of hiking shorts, the shorts would cost you $50. I mean, this is like in the 80s. And you're like, gosh, take care of these shorts. They'll last me 25 years. And they did. I still have shorts that I bought that are still in perfect condition that are 25, 30 years old. And they don't ever wear out. The problem is now we have the stuff coming in out of China. It's not $50 anymore. You can buy it at the wholesale club for $9.95. And it looks identical. It won't last for 25 years, but it's not $50 anymore. It's $10. And if China decides to start slapping tariffs and all the other stuff and everything we start doing, we have a trade war, and Trump puts a 200-300% tariff on those shorts, they're going to go from $10 to $30 instantaneously like that. And the American population's addicted to that cheap stuff. Because remember, most people out here in the United States right now, because of the inflation we've had, which is actually around 10% right now, because of the inflation, they've seen their dollar get less and less valuable over the last 10 or 15, 20, 30 years. Yep. And so it's not buying what it used to. You could buy and rent a really nice place for $300 to $400 a month. Then it was $600 or $700. Then it was $800 or $900. Now it's $1,000 to $1,200. Now it's like $1,500. I mean, it's crazy how expensive rents have become. And food has become, but they don't want to count that in the basket of goods of being represented properly. They pretend like it didn't happen, like they took GE off the New York Stock Exchange because the stocks have tanked on it. See, this is the kind of stuff that they do. They're constantly manipulating stuff. But let's swap into some more health stuff. New animal study is now showing a link between vaccine ingredient and autistic social behavior. Here we go, guys. The number of vaccines is triggered to a staggering 27 injections in the first 2 years of a baby's life. I mean, that blows my mind, by the way. And many natural health experts assert that vaccine ingredients play a role in the rising rates of autism. Like right now, you've got a son, Austin, who's like 28 months old. Imagine if he had been getting an injection every single month for 28 months. I mean, that's just unbelievable. The new study from Canada shows that exposure to aluminum, a common vaccine additive used to enhance the immune response, is linked with autism and antisocial behavior in young mice. Aluminum that is injected is absorbed almost 100% and it circulates throughout the body and accumulates in the brains, organs, and joints, where it can remain for years and years, causing many health problems, including autism, in my opinion. And so these researchers believe that too. So guys, it's so important to understand what's happening to us and how they're dumbing us down. I mean, right now we're having a race to the bottom with IQ in the United States. We talked about that the other day. We talked about what happens when you bring in people that have a 69 IQ and you bring them into the general population and they start interbreeding with people who have a higher IQ. You know, 100 plus 50 is it with a 75 IQ. It's just what happens. You say, well, it doesn't happen every time. Okay. It doesn't happen every time. But over the long time, the constant inbreeding of whenever you take a certain state, whether it be IQ, whether you be at height, eye color, hair color, you know, genetic features, whatever, when you start breeding those people over and over and over and over again, those traits start to become dominant in the general population. Now, that's just statistics and biology. You can't change that. You know, you start taking a 6 foot tall, 6 foot two tall woman, a 6 foot two tall guy, they're going to have pretty tall kids most of the time. Now, this is the problem that we're having. The thing. Now, let me read this article. This is a declining IQ, a race to the bottom. It says, in the U.S., plummeting SAT scores are a proxy indicator of cognitive fallout. The scores have been falling for over a decade and are historically low levels, reflecting an across-the-board worsening in critical thinking, math, and writing performance. Their report in 2013 suggested that almost three-fifths, 57% of graduating high school seniors were not ready for college. And a new study that reports large changes in average cohort intelligence in recent years has answered that the turnaround in IQ is due to environmental factors. Over the past several decades, children's physical and mental well-being have steadily deteriorated. 54% of U.S. children as of 2007 had chronic health conditions. Now listen to that. 54% had chronic health conditions with developmental and behavioral programs, obesity, allergy, asthma and mental health conditions leading the pack, and the prevalence of many of these conditions doubled from 1988 to the mid-2000s when all this vaccine stuff started going nuts. Federal reporting on pediatric health indicators in 2017 showed that 1 in 5 children, kindergartens, now through adolescence, were obese. 1 in 10 had activity limitations resulting from chronic health problems such as asthma. 1 in 17 more males than females had, according to a parent, serious difficulties with emotions, concentrations, behavior, or getting along with other people. In addition, 12% of adolescents suffered a major depressive episode in the previous year, with the prevalence of teenage depression rising continuously in 2004, and teenage suicide representing the second leading cause of death for both teens and young adults. Guys, did you hear what I just said? Everything's going downhill. This is designed to do this. They want your children unbelievably stupid. They want us stupid, but they're not going to happen. That's not going to happen because we bypassed their whole media protocol. We're out here telling you guys the truth of what's going on, because a stupid population is easy to rule. A low IQ population is easy to rule. A low IQ population, if you tell them, strap this bomb on and go blow yourself up over there and kill all those people, and you won't feel anything because it's going to be over a second. But in a second after that happens, you're going to be up in, you know, heaven, you know, with, you know, 60 virgins or whatever it is. You know, they actually believe this. These guys actually believe they're fixing to go have a bunch of virgins with them in like next 30 seconds. So they run over the big smile on their face and push the plunger, and all of a sudden, boom, now no virgins and no person, and they're all gone. And you're going, what the heck just happened? Well, that's what happens with low IQ. Low IQ, see, this is the Catholic Church was real bad about this. They didn't want you reading. And if you read the Bible, it was death punishment. It was punishable by death. And that's why Martin Luther said, hey, look, guys, you know, you guys are the pits. I mean, you're selling indulgences. You're giving these get out of free hell cards to people. You're building these big cathedrals. If a person tries to read the Bible, you kill them. I mean, you know, come on, man. This, you guys got to stop this. This is completely out of hand. Ruled the planet with an iron fist for 1,000 years. And so finally, we started having the change. When Gutenberg built the press, we started having printable copies of the Bible that were readable. King James English was one of the first ones. Of course, in the German Bible was also put out with Luther. And all of these things started making people understand and learn. They began to learn to read, the Bible. You know, the Bible was used as a reading tool and as a primer in almost all of the schools in the colonies. That's what they learned from. And what was interesting about all of this stuff is they don't want that anymore. They don't want that anymore. They want us to be stupid and dumbed down with chemtrails, with vaccinations, with aluminum, with fluoride, with mercury, with, you know, they put fluoride in our toothpaste. They put fluoride in our mouthwash. They give you fluoride treatments at the dental office. And it's been shown repeatedly to reduce cognitive functions and IQ scores. I have multiple people that I will tell them things. These are friends of mine now. They're my age. And they can't remember from one day to the next that I told them these things. And I'll say, don't you remember me talking about this to you a few weeks ago? I sent it to you in text form. No, I don't remember any of that. I said, dude, I've got the texts. They're saved. Oh, yeah, I read that, but I deleted them. I don't remember any of that. You send it to me again. I'm like, dude, why don't you write them down? You know, why is that happening? And one of the guys called me this morning, same thing. He's got severe depression problems, a friend of mine, and he's taking blood pressure medicine, and one of the side effects is depression. See, let me give you the same scenario again. You come in, your blood pressure's 5 points high. Wasn't high, you know, a year ago until they changed the limits. Now it's high. So, well, I'm going to put you on this blood pressure medicine. It's going to cause depression. And you go, well, okay, so you take the blood pressure medicine. Now you can't have sex anymore because you're suffering from erectile dysfunction. So now they put you on, you know, Viagra, which can cause blindness and deafness. So now you're blind and deaf and you're still depressed if that goes sideways. Or you basically end up in a situation where now you're taking blood pressure medicine. Now you got to take testosterone because your testosterone falls through the roof. And now you're trying to get – and again, it's a cascade. It's just, all these drugs start dropping back into the scene. Why? Because your blood pressure is up 3 points one time when you got it tested. Guys, I can change my blood pressure by what I talk about when they take the blood pressure. If I talk about Bill Clinton or Obama – and I've done this – inadvertently at Dr. Todd's office, I'll start talking politics with Dr. Todd, my blood pressure will drop 15 points. Wow. And then I'm like, oh God, my blood pressure's up 15 points. I'll say, okay, don't put it in my chart. Wait until I get done with my chelation or whatever. Come back in 10 minutes or 20 minutes and I'll do it again and I'll be calmed down and come back down 15 minutes. My blood pressure's okay. Well, what if you have blood pressure anxiety, having your blood pressure taken? And so you're going and you're stressed out and your blood pressure's up. Well, now you're on blood pressure medicine. And you're like, how the heck did that happen? And now all these other problems start cascading around you. This is what they're designed to do. Remember, I covered all of this a few weeks ago. Nobody else talks about this stuff. I went through all of the scriptures in the Bible about pharmakia and the sorcery and what they do with drugs. This isn't their first rodeo. These sorcerers that came out of Babylon and all the stuff they learned from Isis and Osiris and Egypt in Genesis chapter 6, they learned to make these potions and these things to poison people with and to make them compliant and to make them listen and to dumb them down. This isn't new. This isn't new. They've been doing this for thousands of years. Now, the names of the drugs have changed. Why do you think that one of the primary ingredients in so many of these drugs is fluorine, fluoride? Because of what it does to it from a neurochemical standpoint. I mean, now we know that these antibiotics that are being used that contain fluoride, they cause tendon rupture and ligament damage in the human body. I mean, they know it does that. But if they can rupture your tendons and rupture your ligaments, they can sell you more drugs for the pain for what they just did to you. Guys, this is who controls the media, who controls the banking systems. It's the sorcerers. It's the witches. It's the Luciferians. It's the Rothschilds. And they're trying their best with their fantasy world to tie you into a D-Wave computer so they can monitor you in every bodily function for all eternity and force you to continue to take their meds and keep you in a slave state. That's what it's all about, Austin. That's why we have a declining IQ, a race to the bottom of the United States with all of the poison they're giving our children. Any comments, son?
No, you're exactly right. You pretty much nailed it on the head. And, I mean, one more article as far as a health article that I wanted to touch base on today, too, because I get this question occasionally about kidney stones. Kidney stones are obviously something that are excruciatingly painful. They're not something that anybody ever wants to deal with, and there are certain ways to prevent them, which I'll talk about here in a minute, but one way to basically help get rid of them as quickly as possible, safely and naturally, is lemon juice. Lemons and lemon juice contain the highest concentration of natural citrate, making lemonade therapy is an excellent alternative to basically help get kidney stones out. A study, and this is a new study now, basically even adding to my point, a new study out of Duke University's Comprehensive Kidney Stone Center tracked 12 patients with kidney stones who were on lemonade therapy for as long as 4 years. They all showed a significant decrease in the levels and growth of kidney stones throughout the entire time they were on lemonade therapy. None of the participants required medical intervention for kidney stones during their study period. Drinking lemonade also causes kidney stone patients to drink more water, which also has a positive cleansing effect on the kidneys. Physicians recommend passing 1.5 to 2 liters of fluid each day to help reduce kidney stones. The ideal blend of lemon and juice and water for lemonade therapy is approximately a half a cup of lemon juice, fresh squeezed, to 7 cups of water. A small amount of natural sweetener like stevia or monk fruit extract, which we sell both of them, and you can make it a little bit stronger if you want. Dad and I make lemonade all the time. You can put a higher concentrate the lemon juice if you want, but that's a pretty good ratio there. And you can also change the sweetness if you want it real tart, if you want it real sweet, with the monk fruit or stevia. Monk fruit, a lot of times we've been using that more and more. That seems to be a little bit more of a popular product now, but stevia still works incredibly well. And they said as well, while lemonade therapy is often highly effective for anyone suffering with kidney stones, it also is important to adjust the diet to reduce the formation of future stones, which a lot of that can make sure you're drinking distilled water and you're also not taking any type of calcium carbonate supplements. A lot of times you see products on the market like coral calcium and just regular calcium carbonate. That's literally rock. That's stone. That it literally has no useful purpose in your body. It's inorganic. Your body can't do anything with it in the body at all except just stick to arteries and plug up the kidneys. So you want to make sure if you're using any type of calcium products, like if you're a female and you're trying to strengthen the bones, you use something like we have, which is basically our MCHC calcium, our microcrystalline hydroxy concentrate, which is derived from bovine. And so that's actually a bioavailable calcium that the body uses. And so when you couple that and you're drinking distilled water, it prevents your body from having these issues. And then throwing in the lemonade can really help out if you've already had a problem with it or if you're just trying to stay healthy. Lemon juice is incredibly good as well for the pancreas and digestive health. Anything you want to add on that, Dad?
Yes. 1 to 9 is the ratio I used in the clinic back in the 80s and the 90s. 1 to 9. It was 1 ounce of water, or I'm sorry, 1 ounce of lemonade to 9 ounces of water. Use a stevia, use ice. Now, the other thing, too, with the lemonade, you have to make it fresh every time you use it. In fact, I had it last night. You have to squeeze the lemon into a glass of water, throw some stevia in it, put some ice in it, but it has to be fresh. You can't just make a pitcher of it and serve it all day. It doesn't work that way because of the energy around the anionic and cationic rotation of the electrons in their outer orbit is different with lemons versus anything else. And if you let it sit for long, a very long period of time, it stops being like that. It also helps to really strengthen the liver and the bile. It really aids as far as with people who have high blood sugar too, that are type 2 diabetics. It does a great job with that. Back to coral calcium. The person who made coral calcium famous was Kevin Trudeau. Kevin Trudeau basically plagiarized and stole an entire CD series that I had years ago and did it on infomercial. And when he was using my stuff and my information, he was getting really good information out there. And then he started in on that coral calcium, and then he ended up starting with a bunch of other stuff. He's in prison now. And it's funny because I remember he was on the seminar circuit back with us in the 90s. And Zig Ziglar didn't want to be on the circuit with him because he said he would refuse to appear on the platform with him. Now, the reason I'm saying that is that Kevin Trudeau did me very, very, very wrong. Now, I may have some Kevin Trudeau fans listening to me right now. Kevin Trudeau has some good information, and he's probably one of the most talented speakers I've ever heard. But guys, he's got some serious issues, okay? I mean, the man lies a lot. And I'm saying that from firsthand, first experience. That's why he's in prison right now. Now, some of the things that were done to him to put him in prison this last time, I don't think were right, okay? I'll say that too. But the point is, the man's just a serial, habitual liar, and he's awful is what he is. And so, but he does have some really good information and training stuff that he does. The problem is, his talk's louder than his walk. I'm sorry, I should have gotten into all that. But I get aggravated with people like that. Because you brought up the coral calcium and it triggered me back to Kevin. He was telling people the coral calcium is going to cure cancer, which is complete nonsense. By the way, leftist group is now posting diagrams on how to stab ICE agents and rip out their hearts. Just thought I'd mention this for the liberal buddies. Occupy Wall Street are now leftist extremists. Posted directions on how to stab and cut out the heart of federal ICE immigration officers on their Twitter account, which has over 200,000 followers. Twitter is allowing this message to stand, of course it is, while the FBI appears to ignore these threats by leftists. They teach you how to tear out a person's heart and cut out their heart. You know what's crazy to me about this, guys, is if I tried to put something like that out on Twitter or on my website, I'd have the feds on me so fast, it'd be unbelievable, Austin. We don't do that. I mean, I tell you guys just to continue to pray for everybody and to stand fast in the Word of God. You know, that greater is He who is in us than He is in the world. But these guys are just Looney Tunes and the stuff they get away with. Why? Because the leftist media is controlled again by the same people we've talked about this whole hour. Guys, thank you for your support. I had the privilege of praying for you again today. You guys are awesome. I get all these great letters that, you know, you guys consider us family. We consider you guys to be family, too. Thanks for getting your vitamins from us. Produce the highest quality stuff in the world. Go ahead and close it up, Austin. I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys. We appreciate everything. Thank you for all the support you give us on a regular basis. And we really do thank you for everything you guys do. Be sure to check us out at healthmasters.com if you guys need anything at all. We're here to help you guys. Or you can give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. Lots of sales and specials, as always, running on our website at Health Masters. So be sure to check it out with the product of the week as well. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.